Hi, and welcome to Gateway Unlocked, MasterCard Payment Gateway's podcast, where we connect with teammates from across the globe and organization on payment trends, innovation, and ideas that are shaping our business. I'm Anne Herrera, and today I'm joined by three very awesome colleagues. We first have Kylie Day, Vice President of Product Management for Europe, Kim Simon, Senior Vice President of Business Operations, and Lee Murphy, Vice President for Customer Technical Services. Welcome, everyone. It's exciting to have such a big group today.
Hello, everyone. Thanks for inviting us, Anne. My name's Kim Simon. I'm Senior Vice President over Business Operations. And just to kind of let you know what Business Operations is I'm responsible for the run of our business. So frankly, what that means to you is every transaction is my job to make sure it's successful.
Hi, Kylie Day. I'm the VP for Product Management in Europe for the Gateway. So my role is really to make sure that we understand our customers' needs and we reflect those needs in the Gateway services.
Hello, I'm Lee Murphy, Vice President for Customer Technical Services for MPGS. We essentially make sure our customers' needs are met. If there are technical issues, every ticket that a customer logs with our team for MPGS, we'll make sure that we get those resolved, responded to improve our customer journey.
Great. Thank you so much for everyone joining us, especially as we get prepared for a very busy season, which I know a lot of our customers are probably already preparing for a busy season. And I think last year's challenges with peak season and holiday shopping may or may not continue. As you know, we haven't really eradicated COVID across the globe. So I'm interested in your prospective areas. What are you hearing from our customers, our merchants, and our banking partners on peak season? Do you feel that they're prepared yet? Or how do you feel that they are preparing for peak season shopping?
So I think in terms of peak, what we're seeing from last year and even the years before that, it is that it's starting much earlier than it ever has before and that it's going on for a longer period of time. So it's not just preparing for that one kind of single peak, it's preparing to sustain that shopping experience and the sale period over that extended period of time. And how merchants are preparing or how our customers are preparing for that is really no different to the way that they've had to prepare for all the challenges we've seen over the last 18 months, right? So, there's so many changes that have happened as a result of COVID and increased reliance on the digital channel that's never been there before, as well as, all of the changes that have come from regulation. So it's just that continued health check, I guess, of their digital channel. Is it performing as it should? Are they offering their consumers the right customer experience that they're looking for? All underpinned by that continued reliability, robustness, and security.
You raise very good points. And I know me as a consumer, I've already started my holiday shopping. so I definitely see that, last year we saw the peak season shopping period was longer. It started around Singles Day. And I envisioned that as well. But we're all consumers here. What do you guys think is going to happen for peak holiday shopping? Do you think it's going to stay mainly digital, perhaps maybe go back a little bit into stores, or do you think that might have some regional variations?
I think it's going to be a little bit of a mix, but I guess it remains to be seen depending on how the next few months go, right? So I think there's definitely going to be a reliance on digital because that's just been so convenient and you know that you're going to be able to receive those goods. But there's also kind of that continued need to go in store and have that kind of more personalized experience. So I think we'll still continue. I don't think we'll see the drop off on digital. I think that's still going to continue to grow through the peak, but combined with that continued in-store experience, which needs to be a lot more kind of personalized.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. I think the regional differences will be there because each region is coming out of COVID at a different pace. And we've seen a number of places go in out sort of back into lockdown, some come out of lockdown, and so we know some people are able to travel and sort of into the holiday season, but some people were still at home, and the e-commerce, the digital channels are so key. But it's so for us being able to sort of be prepared to manage both areas, and as certainly as the sort of the retailers are opening up again, them having the confidence that their payments, they're able to take those seamlessly, is going to be sort of top of their mind and so important to them as well.
Yeah, I think COVID has really taken a toll on a lot of the brick and mortar type stores, especially the smaller merchants. So, I mean, I think we're going to see a little bit of decline there from a transaction standpoint to those, some of those smaller brick and mortars. But again, you know, as Kylie pointed out, I think consumers still like that personal touch if they can get it. And then there's also that fear of, do we go out into this environment? You know, I think the digital transactions are going to continue to rise as brick and mortar stores are struggling more and more.
No, all very, very good points. So we know consumers are preparing to, you know, go through their shopping habits, whichever way that they feel is safe and they're comfortable with. Kim, how about operations? How are both we preparing for peak season for our merchants and our customers?
So from an operations standpoint, we have multiple peak seasons throughout the year, right? It's not just the Christmas, New Year's holiday, right? We have Eid, we have Ramadan, we have Diwali, we have, you know, Amazon Prime. So peak season is something that almost every month we have an event, right, that drives transaction volumes up. So we prepare for this one coming up just like we do all the rest. We look at our incidents. We look at what are our main drivers of our incidents. And typically our main drivers really are two things, infrastructure failures and change failures. Infrastructure failures, you know, we deal with from a redundancy and a resiliency standpoint. Peak season doesn't really affect that piece of it. But what does affect it is change. So we really limit change during high transaction volume times. Like every part of peak season, that's really our dedicated focus. Eliminate as much risk to our environment as possible. So that has been our approach and always will be our approach, reducing that risk.
That makes complete sense. And then Lee, from a customer contact perspective, how are we running up to peak season?
From the different types of requests that we receive. So from the retailers coming back, and so they may not have used their systems for a number of weeks, a number of months. And so they need to make sure that everything is still working as it was when they left their, sort of, the closed shop a number of months ago. And so it's how we can assist to make sure that actually, yeah, on that day one. And so that's in engagement and communication with the customers that when they do come back to trade, they're confident that their systems will be working. And so the type of conversations we're having is checking and making sure their systems work. From the digital side, again, where retailers have got presence online as well as in store, is how much more important their online sales is and how much more important that service is there. So as Kim was talking about, that availability is absolutely, but also for those sort of smaller issues or key items where they're logging a ticket, they need that response. And so the awareness within my team of how key that response time and that resolution time is for our customers who are relying now that they're able to trade, and the small areas that they can trade with are all very quickly, any issues are quickly resolved and managed. A lot of communication, and it's that speed to ticket resolution.
Yeah, it sounds like we're doing a lot of the behind the scenes from an operations standpoint, definitely from a customer technology standpoint as well. So let's rewind 2 years ago to now. What have we seen either our roadmap change or what we're offering or how we're supporting our customers? How has it changed? Do you think it'll continue to evolve in one specific way moving forward?
So one of the changes I've seen from an operational standpoint over the past couple of years is our focus has been a couple of years ago when I took over this role, our focus was really on counting the number of incidents. Now our focus is on the customer and looking at how is these incidents affecting our customers. And we're measuring those in minutes. we're measuring those in what some industries call pain minutes. So how are we inciting pain to our customers? It's not the number of incidents we have a month. It's how many minutes we're inducing pain to our customers. So I think that focus and that shift to the really that customer-centric view is what I've seen change over the past couple of years. And one of those big drivers of, you know, of incidents is looking at a measurement called mean time to mitigate. In short, we call it MTTM. And that's really our measurement for success. How do we continue to reduce that?
Yeah, and I think on the customer side, one of the biggest changes has been the reliance on the digital channel, right? I think in a couple of years ago, it was, you know, maybe 10, 20% of their overall business. Now, in the last year, it's been 100%. So I think that's the biggest change for sure.
And so providing support to customers. So from a product perspective, MasterCard is pushing what other digital products, digital services that they can provide to customers and using MPGS as the rails to be able to do that. So we can offer that to our customers. So whether that's tokenization, the click to pay, tap on phone, so many expanding out on those products. And so when we then come to being able to support our customers, we've got this wider range. And so for me, working sort of that change within my team and the wider sort of CTS teams is how do we tap into that knowledge and to say, right, yeah, we're across able to support and assist MPGS, but that extending to the click to pay, the tap on phone. And so building out those wider sort of partnering processes to be able to provide our customers that support.
So it's not just having a stable, reliable platform. You also have to convert those customers quickly, right? With the experience that they want to get that purchase, to get that transaction.
Yeah. And it's just extending out beyond of our landscape of MPGS. It's that deeper insight and deeper connectivity or stickiness, or however you want to describe it, into those wider MasterCard products. And that we've seen a real drive, particularly over the last 12, 18 months, which has been fantastic.
Another area to kind of add on to that, Lee, is one of the things that we're doing from an operational standpoint is really taking a deep dive and learning through our incidents. So right now, over the past year or so, we've been doing an analysis called a 5-why analysis. So for every incident that happens within our platform, we kick off an analysis called 5 whys, which basically is asking the question why 5 times in an effort to get to really what is the root cause? What is the real root cause? And how do we create the necessary problem tickets to resolve those? As opposed to just saying, yes, we had an incident, let's move on. No, we really, you know, look at what is the real reason for that incident and really try to fix it at its core as opposed to on its surface.
That sounds incredibly important. And I think that's an interesting way of also talking about those pain minutes. That makes a lot of sense because, you know, during peak season, those are very painful minutes, obviously, if there is any downtime. So Lee, in talking with your customer or with our customers, how prepared do you think that they really are? Are they prepared? Have their game plans in check? They got their playbook? Or do you feel that we're still pretty early into peak season planning?
I think there's different customers are at different stages of that. Certainly spoken to a number of customers and absolutely they're clear on their expectations. They've done their testing, they've done their planning and they're sharing with us what their plans are. But certainly other customers, again, because of sort of the life we've lived for the last sort of 12 to 18 months, some customers are coming up to this late, whether they haven't been working and they're coming back to work and they're playing catch up, whether they're having to implement new systems, so move their business online where they haven't been before, or being utilizing these new digital payments that their customers are asking about and trying to get those implemented before we go into peak season so they can capture that additional market. And so from our role, we need to be adaptable to understand that customers are at different places and will ask different questions. And so respond as best we can and help them through where they've got challenges, and then give them that confidence that, when we hit peak season, we're there with them.
No, that's, I think that's great. Yeah, I'm interested in what do you say to customers who, I mean, we're in early August when we're recording this, you know, what do you say to them in regards to they see that rush, that need? How do you advise them on what to do and what to prepare for and maybe what to maybe leave on the table for next peak season?
I would say the main thing is that they've got the ability to take payments, where, I mean, a number of the sort of new functionality takes time, whether that's available through their direct acquirers or their wider partners. It's make sure you've got the basics, you've got that service throughout, and then prepare for by the end of the year. Now's not the time to make any sort of key changes of things that you're not already using.
Makes sense. Kylie, how about you? You talk to customers every day, I'm sure. Do you feel that the people you talk to are ready? Are they prepared? Are they sharing plans and expectations and goals?
No, I think it's very similar to what Lee stated. So some customers have a very kind of focused view on it, and others are still playing catch up. But I think the big thing across the board is a focus on infrastructure. So, making sure that we're always available. And that's something that we've had to focus on and our customers have had to focus on over the last year anyway, regardless of peak. And also the user experience. So what kind of new use cases do they have to now start thinking about, or have they had to start thinking about supporting, like click and collect, especially for kind of smaller merchants maybe who have always, you know, not delved so much into that digital space. So I think there is a mix of customers that are very narrowly focused, and some that are still kind of navigating their way through the change in consumer behavior that's come about over the last 18 months.
What about some surprises? Last year was the unexpected, challenging year. We weren't sure what was going to happen. Have you had any surprises in each of your different areas, from operations to customer to customers support or technology? Have you had any surprises this year that you'd like to share with the group?
I think Kylie actually touched on the mine for infrastructure. Infrastructure has been one of our challenges over the course of the past year, and we've made a great investment and great strides to really improve that, making sure that we are always available, making sure that we're looking at operational resiliency. So yeah, I mean, I think we've done a lot of things over the course of this year. Every day is a new day. That's how I live in operations. So I'm used to surprises. So I think it's really how quickly we respond, how quickly we adapt, and how quickly we remediate the issue is really the key. We've had our share of practice. And I think, going forward, we're just going to build that muscle stronger and stronger.
On my side, it's more in the SME space, right? So things like click and collect have historically, I think, been the domain of much larger retailers who have very strong logistics networks and all of this sort of stuff, very kind of converged channels and platforms. But what we've seen over the last 18 months that's been quite a surprise as well is how some of those customer experiences that cross over offline and online, like click and collect, have also made it into the smaller merchants. Like you're a small store down the street, I think that's been a positive surprise. Yeah,
and I think the likes of Simplify, real sort of engagement to be able to enable those smaller merchants to be able to sort of take payments online, and probably not so much of a surprise from a support perspective, but again, when a lot of the hospitality, they've come back after COVID, and now what we're seeing even in store or within restaurants, within pubs and bars, that they're now having to use digital channels of payments and serving at table, rather than it was always around and available, but generally it was that cardholder present, and you'd pay by your card at the bar. And now you're sat at the table and somebody is either bringing you a terminal, or you're logging onto their website and you're ordering your meal and drinks via their website. And so even though I'm customer present, I'm actually paying through e-com. So how that's been embraced by sort of the hospitality side, I think was sort of a surprise of how much they needed to change. And they have adapted in order to ensure they've got their customers back in.
Yeah, I have to say, as a consumer, I really enjoy also the digital payments in restaurants. Yes. In the States, QR codes were never a very big payment method. But now I've noticed a lot of the receipts will come with a QR code that, you know, we can just kind of pay online, which is helpful. But that also raises the question about security and fraud as well. So peak season is definitely a big time for fraud and security. And we're moving to digital payments, which is amazing and awesome. What are some of the new security challenges that we're helping our customers navigate through?
So we're making sure that our connections to our customers are really through the right protocol. Last year, we really upgraded our TLS, for example. Right now, we're on a big effort of making sure all of our systems are at the right patch levels, making sure that, you know, we're at the current versions so that when we prepare for peak, that we don't have, you know, any surprises. So, you know, we're doing all we can to make sure we reduce those security challenges and surprises, you know, making sure our connections are clean, making sure that our infrastructure is appropriately patched and not susceptible to vulnerability challenges.
I think on the customer or the consumer side, particularly in Europe, it's been around strong customer authentication as well. So making sure that you're strongly authenticating your customer in line with kind of the regulatory guidance and what that means in terms of implementing things like EMV 3DS, but doing it in a way that doesn't impact the customer experience. So you still want that frictionless experience, particularly in apps, for example. So that's kind of one area, I think, where there's been a strong focus, particularly in Europe over the last year from a sort of fraud and security perspective. Yeah,
I think from MasterCard providing wider fraud services across a number of different regions. And so it's that changing view within the support team, just making sure that as and when we enable new products and services, the support teams are correctly trained. And I think the difference with fraud is that greater and deeper understanding of what fraud means. And I think where we have engineers and the support team supporting our gateway, the number of issues are very broad of where we need to make sure we've got that engagement with customers and we're able to respond to their queries and their questions. With fraud, it's slightly different of having that wider understanding rather than just a MasterCard level or an MPGS level. And so, yeah, I think certainly over the last sort of 12 to 18 months, a more focused view on how we ensure that fraud understanding is very sort of dissipated throughout the support teams. And I think we've been sort of successful with that, particularly over the last 6 months, as we've made more of a journey into our new fraud products.
I think that's great. And we talked about SCA and EMV 3DS and two-factor authentication. You know, would you say that those are like the most important things that retailers should do right now to make sure that customers are safe when making a payment? Or is there anything that that you would also advise your customers in conversation with in regards to fraud and security and risk?
Yeah, no, it's a multifaceted subject. I don't think there's one golden egg for fraud. It covers a whole range of things. So, but in a similar vein, from a standards-based approach, EMV 3DS is a EMV-based standard. We've also got Click to Pay, which is another EMV-based standard that's going to bring kind of EMV-like security to the digital checkout flow. So I think that's another key piece to talk about with our customers. How do they make that checkout more secure and more like chip and PIN? And Click to Pay is one of the ways that they can do that with the kind of encryption level security.
So from an operations perspective, you had mentioned there was a big focus on infrastructure. I'm also just curious, do you see any additional kind of barriers or opportunities that has happened over these past, I feel like it's been longer than 18 months, but perhaps it's just with coronavirus 18 months that we're preparing for the rest of the year?
Absolutely. And opportunity, I think, is the key word there. I think, you know, there's a lot of opportunities that we have to constantly improve. I mean, we've noticed a big drop off in the number of incidents, but that doesn't mean we stop. We're continuing to improve upon our infrastructure availability, making sure we have the proper redundancy and resiliency in place to meet the needs of our customers and also to improve our availability metrics as much as possible. So, I mean, we do have what we call a get well plan. This get well plan is for a period of over 18 months, and we're just at the beginning of it. My hope and my goal and my promise to all of you is that you will continually see that availability metrics improve over time.
Lee, what about you? Any, you know, roadmap barriers, opportunities?
Yeah, so I think, again, from a CTS perspective, we're working through our roadmap, our priorities for this year, and similar that we've spoken about already is making sure our customer is at the core of everything that we do. And with that in mind, it's first of all understanding where the friction is of the customer engaging with our support team and looking at how we can remove that friction, how we can remove some of the barriers and some of the pain points. So whether that's specific from a CTS perspective, either before they contact us, so how can we reduce the requirement or the need for them to be sort of reaching out and logging a ticket? How can we make that customer more self-serve? And even then, when a ticket is with our team, how can we make sure we're responding faster? How the any manual tasks to automate those? The tooling that we use is more wider reaching, and ultimately to have that answer and the resolution back to the customer as quickly as possible. I mean, ideally, that customer journey, the customer experience is going to increase if they don't need to reach out to us, if they don't need to log a ticket, if they can find that resolution very easily themselves. But if they do need to contact us, that is an experience that actually flows without friction and is very as quickly as we resolve that ticket as quickly as we can.
Well, that sounds great. And you mentioned roadmaps, and I know from multiple perspectives, roadmaps have definitely changed. Have they not? You know, I'm sure we have experience with that in a lot. Lee, what's on your roadmap? Has your roadmap changed since COVID? Has it evolved, or is it just like I feel like a lot of us, has it just gotten really expedited?
Yeah. I think the urgency level or the priority level certainly increases. So our main focus is combined tools. And so we're MPGS to then be using the standard MasterCard tooling. And so we've been behind in some areas. And so just on our main CRM tool, that's our key migration effort for this year. And that then enables my team to be able to use the sort of wider, richer products that are used by other teams, automation of tasks, chat bots. So we can, as the tickets come in, they don't need to be read by a human, that we picked up by AI that will understand this is the issue that the customer is asking, and it will make sure that is routed to the correct team who are then best placed, have that training, understanding to be able to respond to the customer quicker. So not only are we trying to not have to have the customer log a ticket in the first place, but when that ticket is logged, it's not sat in a queue waiting for somebody to review. We have that more instantaneous review. It knows what team is able to resolve that, and it will send that through a lot quicker. And I think lastly, it's that 24/7 support that we're available, we're on at any time. So our roadmap is ensuring that our teams have the tools, we're there for the customer, we understand what that friction is, and we're removing that as quickly as we can.
Kylie, what about you? I know obviously your roadmap with customers obviously differs. I know you're in Europe, so perhaps it's a little bit similar in regards to regulations, but do you see that the roadmap that you're recommending they take in regards to payment methods and payment technology shift, expedite? What are the typical roadmaps that you're recommending with customers?
Yeah, it's absolutely shifting and expediting. So in the past, it would, you know, if you're talking about e-commerce, you're just talking about being able to accept cards and maybe PayPal, right? That's what it used to be. Now it's this whole world of complexity where you've got strong customer authentication, you've got a whole plethora of payment methods across the board, whether that's payment methods that are particular to a region or payment methods that are particular to a channel, like digital specific payment methods. You've also got use cases to consider, different flows that bring the online and the offline world together, like click and collect or buy online, refund in store. So yeah, it's kind of all of those, looking across all of those sort of consumer driven requirements and behaviors and looking at how we can bring those to our customers in the best way. So it's not increasing their operational burden or increasing their risk to be able to offer their consumers all of these services.
So I know we've got just a little bit of time. So we're going to do I think it's the most exciting part personally. And it's kind of like your one pitch. You each have very specific and really amazing skills in your different areas. You've got a captive audience here. In one sentence, and some people go over, so that's fine. How would you tell them, our customers, our merchants and our banking partners, to prepare for peak season? I'm going to pick on Kim first. I hope you're okay with that, Kim. But so you've got your captive audience. We're here and we're listening. What would you tell them that they need to do for peak season? What would it be and why?
I guess from my standpoint is we need to make sure that we know who you are. We send out whenever we have an incident or whenever a change is going in, we send out comms. But are we sending them to the right people? so making sure that you're working with your counterparts here at MasterCard, that we know that your information is updated in our systems, so that we're communicating to the right people within your organizations, within your teams, so that when we do have an outage, because outages are going to happen, whether it's during peak or just as part of normal BAU. But the key is, how do we communicate effectively? And knowing those right contacts are just so key for that communication layer.
Yep, absolutely. Lee, I'm sure that you would probably definitely agree with that.
Yeah. I would follow on from there. So from a support perspective, should there be an issue during peak, that's not the time to then be scrabbling around to find how do I contact MPGS. It's have that, you know who your contacts are, you know how to log a ticket with the support team. You've got those escalation points as well within my CTS team, or even reach out to me. So for it being prepared for the worst, and we absolutely don't expect it to happen, but it should. But if it does, you know where to go and how to get that support that you need.
So communication, and I completely agree with that. I think that, you want to have obviously a very good payments partner, and you want to have open levels of communication or open dialogue of communication with your customers, and you want it to be speedy and reliable and fast and kind of obviously actionable, I guess would be a good word for it. That makes complete sense. Kylie, I know you are a little bit more customer centric in a different way. What would you say that your one thing for peak season, what would you tell customers your one thing for peak season? What would it be and why?
It's probably along the same lines. So I would say collaborate early, tell us, plan, work with us, let us walk through your pains and your challenges, because I'm sure we've got solutions to those, and partner with us in terms of implementing those solutions. So one of the things that I've been super impressed with over the last 18 months is the fact that business has continued, and there's been so much collaboration over Zoom meetings, and you know, we get to see more of our partners than we've ever seen before, including their cats and their children. So I think that's the key thing is that collaboration and that early engagement with us, so that we can walk through things like customer journeys. We can talk about sort of the right mix of payment methods and what it means to the business to be able to implement those and what kind of impact it would have on peak and on ongoing business. Yeah.
And that makes sense. And yes, no, I really do like that. Visual, you're seeing my home. I'm seeing, you know, your guys' home. And I do kind of enjoy that. You hear a dog barking in the background and you get to know a little bit more about the person behind the colleague. Is there still time? I mean, we're going into September. Is there still time if they want to implement changes, if they want to do something, or is it better stay safe and don't go into new things? What are you thinking?
I think there's always time. So as long as it's done in the right way, right? I wouldn't necessarily recommend a big bang approach, but something that's phased and careful, and maybe you're trying it in the first instance to see what it's like. That's probably the best approach, regardless of the time of year that you're going to be implementing something. So I don't think it's too late. And especially if you've got pain points, if you know you've got consumers that you're not converting because they're falling off because you haven't got the right flow, then you really should be tackling that before peak. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, in that instance, you'd be leaving money on the table in a way, because we know customer loyalty in regards to customers want to choose, you know, the payment method that they want to use. You definitely want to offer that up. Kim, I saw your face. You look scared with the time. What about you from an operations standpoint? How would you feel if someone came? What timeline would you give them?
So now is the time. I agree with Kylie. I mean, we need to get things moving forward as fast as possible, but we have to be very mindful. And one of the questions that I ask my team is, what is the worst that can happen? And if we plan for the worst, then I think we'll be okay. So it's really having that fallback plan, making sure that we're doing things very deliberately, and also just challenge, right? So one of the things in my role is I say no a lot. We have a gating criteria before we move anything into production, making sure it has all the I's dotted and T's crossed. And if it doesn't, then I'm the first to stand up and say, no, it is not moving. Even if it's a commitment to the customer by a certain date, my job is to make sure the system is available. The message here is, let's do things delicately and mindfully, and thinking about what is the worst that could possibly happen. And if we can answer that and collectively come to a terms and agreement on that, then we're good.
Yeah, I think you have, yes, delicately. And I think you have a very challenging and I think fun job too as well.
It is.
It almost seems like you're like a surgeon a little bit, and just fine tuning and moving things around and making sure everything looks good. What about you, Lee? What would you tell them?
I think going back to Carly's point, the key is the communication, and there should be no surprises, and making sure that everyone's aware. And so, yeah, if a customer wants to implement something new, it's that they've spoken to their relationship manager, they've spoken to our product team, and that message is dispersed. So whether we're looking at a pilot, we're looking at something of, let's have that close attention. So for a particular region, a particular customer, from a support perspective, let's get engaged, let's understand the importance of this change to that customer. And so if we're understanding more what's really driving them, we're able to then sort of mould how we need to respond to them and the support we need to offer. So I think communication is absolutely key.
No, that sounds great. And speaking of communication, I really do love this group together. You know, we have Kylie here from the customer management point of view, and you know what our customers and their customers want and need, and then Kim from the operations on really making sure that we're addressing those customer needs and we're delivering, and then Lee from really just the customer support as well. I think it's a fantastic holistic view. So don't be surprised if you guys get invited to more of these. I really do think it gives a full view of everything that goes on within our gateway. And I've really enjoyed that about this podcast series. You know, we had David Budzeski about the design thinking that went into it. Totally teasing, but we're talking also to a couple of teammates on the support-driven development as well. Lee, I'm sure that might interest you, of course, as well.
Absolutely.
in regards to exactly how we build gateways and with support in mind. Well, thank you all three of you for joining us today. This has been really enlightening for me in regards to, you know, how we're addressing our customers' needs, how we're operationally fulfilling them, and then how we're supporting them as well, especially through peak season. My hope is that we've got a great team to back this up. is that we're going to have all very successful peak seasons in regards to, for our customers, of resiliency, availability, offering a seamless payment experience for all the consumers across the globe. So thank you so much for joining us, and we will talk to you all soon.